This is Rainmaker.fm, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at hacktheentrepreneur.com/Rainmaker. That's hacktheentrepreneur.com/Rainmaker.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now, here is your host, John Master.
Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. I'm so glad you decided to join me today. I am your host, John Master, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a serial entrepreneur, author, and very well-known digital marketing expert. In 1998, my guest undertook his first entrepreneurial venture, a $900 marketing course for cosmetic surgeons. By the time he was 26, he was making $10,000 to $15,000 a month, teaching physicians how to improve their sales. According to Forbes, he's produced more than a half dozen seven-figure online businesses since then. My guest is a self-described adventure junkie. He founded Maverick Business Adventure and Maverick 1000 in 2008. Maverick Business Adventure mixes adventure and intimate entrepreneurial networking. Maverick Business Adventure is also a philanthropic organization with the lofty goal of getting 10,000 young entrepreneurs to start their own companies by 2020. He has written several must-read books for entrepreneurs, including Maverick Startup, 34 Rules for Maverick Entrepreneurs, and the soon-to-be-released Evolved Enterprise. Now, let's hack Yannick Silver. Before we get going, I want to take a minute to thank my awesome sponsor, FreshBooks. FreshBooks is absolutely made for people like me and you. Entrepreneurs, small business owners, or medium-sized business owners. And I don't know why it took me 2 years to figure out. When I moved to online business, I was still printing everything out and just going completely like old school, as in dealing with a proper bookkeeper and accountant off to the side, but having to deal with the offline aspect of that. And I absolutely hated it. I didn't know how to write checks to these people. I didn't all this stuff that as my business ran online, I felt like the rest of it should have been done online, the bookkeeping, the accounting side of it. And FreshBooks absolutely now allows me to do that with the app on my phone, to the fact that they can integrate fully with PayPal and with my MailChimp account. And then also it can just, everything is done there, all the reports, and I can just email it to the accountant to take care of. And I don't have to worry about being absolutely, absolutely disorganized anymore. So I want to thank FreshBooks for that and for sponsoring me. Thank you so much. If you are an entrepreneur or a small business person like myself, I really strongly urge you to go start your 30-day free trial today. No credit card, no anything necessary. Just go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Trust me, you'll be absolutely, absolutely happy that you did. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. We have another brilliant guest today. Yannick, thank you for joining me.
Hey, John. Thanks.
All right. Let's jump straight into this, shall we?
All right.
Yannick, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
You know, that's a tough one, right? Because I ask people that too, who are mentors and different people. I'm like, hey, you know, if you're going to define one thing, they're like, well, it's really hard to say it's one secret, but I guess if I had, you know, throwing it back on me and saying, okay, if there's one thing, I think that I took this lesson on really early in life, which was if you learn or study on any subject for 1 hour a day for 3 years, you become an expert. And for 1 hour a day for 5 years, you become a world expert. And I learned that from a guy named Earl Nightingale. And so I think that I really, you know, I'm constantly looking at how am I growing? How am I evolving? How am I, you know, I'll try and go through about a book a week, and I'm just constantly curious. I think some of the best people in the world are just constantly curious on how things work, how business models work, how people are doing things in other industries or even totally disparate places and trying to make those connections and bring them together. So that, I think that's probably the one thing.
Nice. So seeking out more knowledge. It's funny.
Yeah, just some growth.
Because I have a list of questions that I can kind of play off of as I'm doing these interviews. And you're just over 100 people I've interviewed in the last 8 months, all doing cool, amazing things. And at the very top in bold, it says, to master anything, talk to the experts, which I believe comes from what I stole it from. I believe Tony Robbins said that when he first started, that's what he wanted to master, whatever it was he was trying to master at the time. And he learned that from somebody. And I was like, there it is. That's what I'm doing with this. So that's funny how you say that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're getting a total like CAT scan perspective from so many people.
Yeah. It's amazing. I just started it selfishly and I get to just talk to you people now. It's awesome. So just a constant thirst for knowledge, I guess, like reading one book a week is a lot. Is this something you've always done or is this something you kind of push yourself to do to?
I don't push myself necessarily in too many places. It's just, I really follow like my interests where, you know, at the very beginning of my, I don't know, my entrepreneurial kind of career, or even before that, it was really around direct response marketing, copywriting, psychology, you know, general business type stuff. And then now recently it's been just getting way deeper into, I don't know, cosmology or evolutionary theories or consciousness or, you know, you name it. And that's where I just kind of follow my, wherever my energy is and what I'm excited about is where I'll put my growth or my growth and learning aspect, and not trying to force, oh yeah, I have to read whatever this latest business book is that everyone's talking about, because maybe I don't need that one right now. Maybe I need something else. And so I believe in things will show up in the right way in the right time.
So what if this, what you were interested in was reversed? So it seems like it worked out. You were into direct response marketing and copywriting. You got fascinated by it. You studied it and then you got to create a business around it.
Yeah.
But you're probably not creating a business around evolutionary theory and consciousness now. You know what I mean? So what about when someone's not into direct response marketing as their fascination?
Well, I know you have to. So I look at leverage. I look at how do we leverage, whether it's our time or our talents or, you know, in an investor standpoint, their treasure. So capital, but, you know, where can we have the greatest leverage? And so learning about direct response marketing and copywriting is a very leverageable skill because I can write something in an email or a web page or whatever medium and then have multiple people go there and then take an action. So now instead of, I mean, and I learned this way early on because I was out. So I worked for my dad's company for a long time, grew up in a family business. And, you know, I was 14. I telemarketed for latex gloves, called on my own doctor clients. And then 16, the deal was I got a car if I went out and cold called. And let me tell you, if you probably already know if you've done this, but cold calling kind of sucks. And so, you know, you got that one-on-one interaction. The positioning's not even right. It's just, you know, so many things going against you. And so I really kind of fell into that direct response and copywriting because I was looking for a better way. And one of my doctor clients gave that to me.
Wow.
And so that was, you know, a really kind of big step. And then it, you know, just lit me up on fire because, wow, I could have, you know, I could have people responding to an ad that I wrote about an EKG machine or a fetal Doppler or whatever, instead of actually talking to them in person. And so then having that encouragement kept me excited. And then I'd go deeper and deeper into it. Now, if you're absolutely not interested in any of that stuff, then, you know, you need to find out other people and resources. And there's a ton of them out there who understand it and get it, because you're going to need that part. And I'm a big believer in, you know, focusing where your strengths are and figuring out what makes you unique and really unique in your aspects. And so not trying to necessarily get way better at where you're totally weak at, because you're only kind of maybe raised up to a mediocre level, but how do you hone what you're really great at and where your natural talents are, and then bring in a supporting cast around you?
Yeah, that's smart. And what was it in your business that you realized, say, early on that you weren't good at?
A lot of things. You know, I'm really good at the idea and the conception and creating the positioning and the brand and, you know, the way something is differentiated, and now how there's different aspects of it that maybe are great for that create an impact that actually drive business, which is all about, you know, the latest book that I've written called Evolved Enterprise, which is partially around that. I'm also really good at connecting really amazing individuals together, like creating a platform or a sandbox for them to play in. And then I'm good at instigating some mayhem and some fun and keeping that inner child alive. And then everything else, not as good for sure. And then, you know, finding people that are way better at me, especially around the operations systems part. And, you know, who, like one of my friends told me this one time and it really kind of hit home for me. He's like, the money's made in turning the wheel, Yannick, not in actually reinventing the wheel. But that's the part that I really like. I like the reinventing the wheel. So, you know, I'm constantly looking for better people than me that are good wheel turners, I guess.
Wow. The money's made in turning the wheel, not in reinventing. But you were like, no, I like to reinvent it.
Yeah. That's, you know, if I create enough wheels and have enough wheel turners that are really excited by what we're doing, then we should be all right.
Are you good at taking advice?
I think I am very good at listening to a lot of different perspectives and then, you know, deciding to follow my own intuition and gut necessarily. I'm not going to be swayed to totally go against what I think is the right move, but I do like to hear other people's inputs for sure.
Nice. Okay, let's go back. You said you worked in a family business,
right?
But there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make this big something or a difference in the world, or as mostly seems to be the case, they just simply can't work for somebody else. So from your family business to deciding that you needed to venture out on your own and that you were going to build something yourself. When did this happen for you?
Yes, so I went through both of those periods or concepts that you just mentioned. The first was really, so after 16, cold calling, then learning about direct response and copywriting, when I was about 17, 18, and, you know, just being immersed in guys like Jay Abraham or Dan Kennedy and Ted Nicholas and anyone else I could find, and then all the old mail order type masters. And then, so I took my dad's business from a regional player to more of a national player from the ads that we're writing and, or that I was writing and helping him grow that. And then there's kind of like this, I don't know, maybe a weird switch that went on. So at one point for a long time, I was like, I'm just going to grow this and really expand it and build it out. And then there's this switch where I started doing a little bit of freelancing, I guess, with a handful of my doctor clients who, you know, realized that I was pretty good at marketing and they wanted my help for attracting some cosmetic and elective type patients. And so I did that for a little while and realized there's no leverage there. So going back to what we talked about, you know, leverage is me here was working, getting paid essentially by the hour and working with them and not really leveraging my talent there. And so I started learning about other people that were selling information and content. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty fascinating. And I literally created an ad that put in dermatologic surgery journal, got 10 doctors to raise their hands that say they're interested in more cosmetic patients, because this is all the same stuff I was doing with the doctors one-on-one. And then 3 weeks later, we got our first order for $900 for this course that wasn't even created at the time. And I wrote back to the guy and saying, it's going to be republished and available. Are you going to jump in, John?
No, I love that. Course wasn't even, of course, built yet.
But. Yeah, right. Well, you know, and that's, you know, I tell people this today, right? Because so many times we kind of feel like we got to have everything perfectly in line and then we'll put it out there. But, you know, there's magic in actually putting something out and seeing what the hell happens. And then, you know, I only got one order, but it was enough to give me enough energy and kind of motivation to go create this thing. And so, you know, I told the doctor this card won't be charged and it's being republished and I would clock out. So, you know, the time that I knew that I was leaving was literally when I was looking at the clock, like just staring at it when it's like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock and waiting for 5 o'clock so I can clock out of my dad's business and then go to work on my own stuff. And I'd be at his office, like literally typing and writing and creating that new product till 2-3 o'clock in the morning sometimes, you know, answering my cell phone under my desk and taking orders. And so my dad was pretty cool about it. I mean, he let me slowly transition out of it where I could take like Fridays off at one point. And, you know, he kind of saw the writing on the wall, but it was still a really, really hard decision. But once you get that itch, there's really no going back. And what kind of precipitated it, and I've told my stepbrother this now, which is really great, was he wasn't that happy that I was kind of moonlighting on the side and doing this stuff. And he thought I was not paying attention to what we were doing. And in the office, in the medical equipment stuff. And you know, it's probably pretty right. So I wasn't that really plugged into everything we're doing. And he'd interject his thoughts on the marketing, which really, you know, he had no background in, except for everyone has an opinion on something. But it became such a hassle there that it helped precipitate me leaving too. And I'm actually really thankful for that.
Excellent. I like the once you get the itch, there's no turning back.
Pretty much. So that was, you know, the first part. And then your second part was, you know, the changing the world kind of thing. And that happened. So fast forward now, you know, I started that publishing company working just with doctors. It went up to about $15,000 a month, kind of part-time, like almost like a publishing bakery in a way. Like we'd get orders in and I'd only have like two or three copies of the manuals created. And I'd go down to my local printer and he'd print it up and I'd ship them out. And, you know, it was a fun little mail order business that was doing pretty good for like a 25, 26 year old kid. And then the internet really started to kind of come into play where I was looking at what was going on and I'm like, yeah, I could figure this out. It looks like, you know, they're doing some direct response and they're selling content. And I'm like, I could do this. So in 2000, I literally woke up with this idea at 3 o'clock in the morning for instant sales letters. And it was my first $1 million product where within 3 months I was on track to do six figures. And people are like, well, how did you do that? Maybe you could help me. It's turned into a whole nother kind of career. But about 7-8 years ago, I kind of looked at my life and from the outside looking in, you know, you think everything is pretty perfect, making a ton of money online, helping a lot of people, great family, great reputation in that marketplace. But I just wasn't totally happy. And I think those seeds of discontent or, you know, sometimes it's like I call it a cosmic alarm clock that goes off and there's like no way of stopping it. Same as before. Right. And it's like, you can either turn it off sometimes it gets harder too, because you got almost golden handcuffs in a way. And maybe some of the people listening have that also, because you know, you're not necessarily the 20-year-old kid. You got a family, you got people that look to you for support and for security. And so it's not always an easy time to make a transition, but it's one of those things where if you look back, you're going to be like, wow, I should have done it. And most times in life, we definitely don't regret the things that we do. For the most part, it's we regret the things that we don't do. And I was having this conversation with a Maverick member the other day, and he was talking about walking away from a very successful business to do something that he absolutely loved. And he's like, he has three kids and he's like, I don't know if I could do it. And I said, well, don't you think, I know with me as a parent, my kids pay way more attention to what I do versus what I tell them. And, you know, don't you think they'd be watching you to see if you're pursuing your dreams or not? And he's like, yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, that is huge. And one of my favorite quotes is that we typically don't regret the things we do. It's true. We regret the things that we don't. But it's hard. It is hard. And it's unfortunate, because when you take the steps and you do the hard work, and then you can look back on it and be like, yes, that was the right decision for you to make, obviously, to go out on your own. But at the time, it's really, really hard. Right. But I honestly feel that if you take those steps and you take those steps long enough and deal with the struggles of all of it that are like, I mean, you gave us a condensed story. I'm sure it wasn't all just like rainbows and something else nice. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Unicorns, lollipops.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But looking back on it, it's always worth it. I don't know why. It just is, because you've got to, in a way, choose your own destiny and know what you could achieve.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, where it didn't become all rainbows and unicorns and lollipops was actually, it was interesting, because I had a pretty sharp sort of trajectory up, I guess, with the internet stuff, and every product was really doing well. And, you know, it didn't matter what we put out there, because it was, the marketplace loved it and, you know, doing really, really well. But when I switched gears totally about moving into this Maverick group of companies, which is all about like this interconnection of for helping entrepreneurs, how do they grow themselves and their business? How do we make an impact and a difference in the world? And how do we have some fun in the process? Like, that's always been the core. And it originally started as an adventure travel sort of company doing this up for entrepreneurs. And the first event was a Baja racing event, and I lost $30,000. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's a totally different business. It's an investment. Where my very first company, that internet venture, I guess not the first company, but the internet venture, we started with $1,800 in a one-bedroom apartment and grew that up to a couple million-dollar venture. Now, you know, this one, when you have a semi-open checkbook, it's a different deal. And you have to be careful too on that, not having your passion for something cloud your business sense. And so one of my books is called 34 Rules for Maverick Entrepreneurs. And one of my rules in there is actually to bootstrap so that you don't, that money can only, it's kind of going to cover up stuff, and you can use either your creativity or money. In this case, we used money, and we continued to pour money into hiring people that we weren't ready for, or wasn't a good fit, and all sorts of things. And about $400,000 in, my wife's like, well, what the hell are you doing? And is this a real company? And so it forced me to be like, yeah, I think it is. But if it was just an adventure travel company, my why wasn't big enough. And so I went back and thought about, what do I really want to create? And it's this big ecoverse of these interconnected companies and ventures that were really, you know, are kind of North Star is changed the way business is played. And that's kind of what I base it on. And play is very intentional there. But it's, you know, that was a much bigger why. And that forced me to say, yeah, I'm willing to do it. And then zigzagging into what it's turned into and actually making it profitable and figuring it out. And so during that time, you know, you go through a lot of thoughts. It's like, well, yeah, I should just go back to what I was doing before. It was so much easier and making so much more money and so much less stress. But there's something that kept pushing me forward. And I knew that I'd figure it out. And it's like, a lot of times what you think is your destination really doesn't even end up being your destination. It's the byproduct of the movement of going towards that.
That's awesome. I love that. I actually wrote that exact thing to my newsletter yesterday.
Yeah, perfect.
That exact thing. It was like, you just have to start walking. You're lost in the forest. Walk, because just over that like patch of trees, there might be a giant mountain you can't cross anyway. So don't even, you have to go some other direction. But
yeah, no, and it's going to be, and that's exactly,
you don't know until you move.
It's like you, I mean, I look back and think about that first online venture in my notes or my planner, I wrote, I want to sell it for $500,000, like stamps.com or something like that. And, you know, looking back, I would never have done that because it led to so many other things and it's worth so much more. But just that movement of driving and creating that turned into this byproduct then of me teaching a whole lot of people how to take their content or expertise and get it out and sell it online, which then turned into all these different relationships. And, you know, you just keep creating byproducts after byproducts after byproducts that keep leading you in new directions.
Totally. And you could never even, in your wildest dreams, you could never know where you're going to be sort of like a year or two out. Like once the movement happens, just you get introduced to so many people and ideas and opportunities that you couldn't even have imagined.
No, but it's, you know, it's always in line with the essence of what you want.
Of course.
And so, you know, for me, I think about this like for goal setting and so forth. Like I don't do traditional type goal setting anymore. I do more about what's the essence of what I want. And for most entrepreneurs, it's about freedom. And so it's not even what amount of money in the bank. It's about, you know, how do you create your life so that you can do what you want, work with who you want, and really focus on where you want to do it from. And so that doesn't require $10 million in the bank or $20 million or whatever it is. It's like the number that you're thinking about, it's usually a lot less if you think about it and think through it. And then it comes down to everything. And so I remember kind of got this a couple of years back. I wrote in my journal what my ideal 40th birthday was going to be like. And I wrote these different things, like a number in the bank and what I was going to be driving and, you know, all these things that traditional goal setting people will tell you to do and who I was hanging out with. And, you know, what I couldn't even fathom what happened for my 40th. It was like, I'm part of Virgin Galactic, which is the spaceship thing. And actually on my actual 40th birthday, they had an event where it was like 400 some future astronauts are there and Branson is there. And then I also got invited to go with Richard, I think a week after that or 8 days after that, to South Africa on safari with him and all these different things. And it's just like, you know, you couldn't have planned that or written that. And it was just amazing. But essence of what I wanted.
If you would have, you would have been like, come on, man, you got to calm down. Like this is a little too lofty for your 40th.
Yeah, potentially. Right. Yeah.
And there it was. Excellent. Okay. Well, this takes me into my final question. And that's kind of a great segue into it. There's this idea I'm working with called the entrepreneurial gap. So as entrepreneurs, we are constantly looking forward, whether you're setting goals in a traditional sense or whatever it is, it's always, everything will be better when in 1 month, when I do this, or 3 months or 6 months or a year or 3 years or 5 years, we set these goals for ourselves And even before we seem to hit those goals, we set 5 or 10 new loftier ones into the future. And we oftentimes live in this gap that we fail to stop, turn around, and look at what we have accomplished, where we have come from, what we have learned. So Yannick, could you, for us right now, could you just turn around and look at everything you've done up till this point and tell us if you are happy with what you've done?
I am actually extremely happy, and I'm probably the most content, happiest that I've ever been in my life. And yeah, so I'm definitely a very future thinking individual. And when you get yourself wrapped up in the future only, then it becomes extremely, you're just extremely unhappy because you're never hitting that ideal and you're never hitting what is the quote unquote perfect kind of life of what you think you'll be happy. And it doesn't really work. So I have actually this blog post that was pretty popular all about, I call it the daily return path to joy, happiness, and bliss. And one of the things in there is making sure that each day that you think about, okay, where's the momentum right now? Like, went well, and so I'll do this not necessarily totally every day, but at least twice a week or so, I'll write a long page in my journal about what's going well right now, or what am I appreciative of? And that only enhances what's coming and makes everything grow from there.
Nice. I love it. Well, Yannick, this has been a lot of fun, and I do want to thank you for taking the time. But before we go, could you specifically tell the listener where they can find out more about you and your business?
Yeah, probably a good spot is the blog. They just go to yannicksilver.com, Y-A-N-I-K, silver.com, a bunch of great articles there and a couple of good downloads. And then the new upcoming book is called Evolved Enterprise. And that's just at evolvedenterprise.com.
Excellent. I will link to both of those in the show notes, so they're easy for everyone to find. So Yannick, thanks again for taking the time, and just please keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
Mr. Yannick Silver, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was so much fun. I'm so glad that you just agreed to come on the show and that you were so open in your responses, and which makes sense now that I guess I kind of knew you from like the older days of internet marketing when I started into this stuff and you were out there, and now you've gone to this deeper place. I mean, with your new book, Evolved Enterprise, which you gave me a copy of and I've been reading, it's amazing. It goes beyond. I love your take on the whole entrepreneurs shouldn't be just focused on giving back, because giving back sort of says that we've taken something. When we don't take things as entrepreneurs, we have to earn them. We have to earn any money we make by providing value or service or something worth way more than the money we're taking from or getting, receiving from our audience or from our customers. And I really liked that because people are always talking about now entrepreneurs giving back. And it does. It really talks about taking. That's the only way you can give back if you've already taken. So I just thank you so much for joining me and thanks so much for what you're doing because it's really, really cool. So as these conversations sometimes go, I have this sheet beside me where I write down the times of potential hacks of what I think are ones I need to go back to. And I have an insane list right now from this conversation. But then I re-listened to them all and I heard the conversation again, and there was one that stood out. There really is. There was one. That one thing that Yannick said. That one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
In turning the wheel, Yannick, not in actually reinventing the wheel, but that's the part that I really like. I like the reinventing the wheel. So you know, I'm constantly looking for better people than me that are good wheel turners, I guess.
And that's the hack. Whoa, Yannick, there's so much in that. So you have a friend that tells you the money is in the turning of the wheel, not in reinventing the wheel, which I absolutely agree with. And I tell people in so many different businesses and so many different markets they're trying to enter, they're always trying to come up with this grand, huge $1 million idea that is going to change everything. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel in any of this. Find something that works in another market and bring it to your market. Find something that works in your market and just adapt it and make it different, unique. Put your perspective onto it. You don't have to in any way reinvent the wheel. It's absolutely not necessary, and it holds a lot of people back. But then, I love how Yannick says that his friend gives him this great advice, and Yannick still disagrees with it. It's like, yeah, that's great, friend, but I like to reinvent the wheel. So then what does Yannick do? Yannick is smart enough and self-aware enough of this that he knows that he has to hire smart wheel turners who can turn the wheel, because he does agree that that is necessary for a successful business. So he doesn't try and change himself and try and, because we can't typically, we're too hard to become a different type of personality or to have a different complete mindset or how you focus or what you enjoy doing. So rather than him just struggling, trying to turn himself into a wheel turner because he thinks it's necessary, he's just like, no, I like to reinvent the wheel. I'm going to keep doing that in my business. Although that's not the part that makes us all the money. So I need to put wheel turners in place. Genius. Bang. I love it. That's awesome. So good. So good. Thank you, Yannick. All right. That's another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur done. I appreciate you just out there so much. You know that, right? You know that now? Do you know that? I hope so. I really, truly do. Drop me a line. Tell me where you are. Tell me where you're listening to me, not what you're listening to, where you're listening to me. And if you have any questions or thoughts, tell me what you hate. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you're up to. I would love to hear from you. John, J-O-N, at hacktheentrepreneur.com. That is my email. Please use it. There's thousands of people out there listening to this show, and I would love to hear from you even more than I do. So John, J-O-N, at hacktheentrepreneur.com. Even just say hi. Send me a virus if you want. Don't send me a virus. Why would I just say that? That's funny. Sorry. So seriously, truly, thank you. I appreciate you listening. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.